Good morning. This is Reverend Bob McClavey with the Presbyterian Church of Floyd. And welcome for this morning of worship, of prayer, of music, just really a time of celebration in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ. During this time of Lent, we are reflecting on the teachings of Jesus. I feel it's so important that we're able to speak with authority about the true message that Jesus brought to his disciples and to the world. And so we focus during this season of Lent on the teachings of Jesus himself. And so this morning we're going to have one of the great parables that Jesus told. It's one of my favorite. I love this particular parable, and I hope you will as well. And then, of course, we will have music by Alan Vest again, following my message. But let's begin this morning with prayer. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for gathering us in your presence. Thank you for the way that you bless us. During this season of Lent, we do pray that you will continue to inspire us to seek out the true message of Jesus Christ, to come to understand his teaching, and then give us the courage to live out the teaching of Christ. We pray, Lord, this morning that you will open our hearts and our minds. Help us to hear your word, and help us, Lord, to take it in. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. This morning's scripture passage comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15, verses 1 through 3, and then verses 11 through 32. This is a very familiar scripture passage, one that you have heard many times before, I'm sure, but it is indeed one of the core teachings of Jesus. This is the parable of the prodigal son. Now, the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, "Father, give me my share of the estate." So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare, and here I am starving to death? I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.'" So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his servants, "Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. Your brother has come, he replied, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound. The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who has squandered your property comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him. My son, the father said, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. This is the word of the Lord. Now, this extraordinary parable is one that we have all heard before, probably many times. But I never tire of the story and the message that it conveys. It's all about the Father's grace. As we are now in this season of Lent, as we are looking ahead at Jesus' death and resurrection so that we are able to enjoy a right relationship with God the Father, it's fitting that we think about the Father's grace. Grace, after all, is about unconditional love, where we receive love that we do not deserve and certainly have not earned. Grace is about love that is joyously and generously poured out, a love that is at the core of our relationship with God through Jesus Christ. I'm sure that most of us see something in this parable that looks terribly familiar. Not that we ever ran off to a foreign land and squandered our inheritance, but that we did indeed, at some point in our lives perhaps, run away from the Father, that we rebelled and had to sow some wild oats, that we felt no particular need at some point in our lives to be in close relationship with the Father, because we wanted to be on our own. Perhaps we thought that by putting some distance between us and the Father, he wouldn't know what we were up to, and we wouldn't be held accountable. And yes, the parable of the prodigal son is one of those that brings it all kind of close to home. Perhaps it should be called the parable of each one of us as we encounter and come to understand God's incredible, unconditional love. I can't read this parable without thinking of my own parents. My father, being the father of five sons, was certainly an understanding father, one who gave each of us a gift of unconditional love. I remember that I, as the youngest of the five, got away with a whole lot more than my older brothers did. But I still remember those times when I should have been in so much trouble, and yet my dad always had patience and forgave me. It was unconditional love. I remember the time I was driving the big four-wheel drive tractor on our farm, and I was being careless, and I broke an axle. It was very expensive to have that fixed, and yet my father forgave me. He had patience. He had understanding. And I remember so well my mom and her unconditional love to all five of us boys. And I remember in the last weeks of her life, I had that opportunity to have a conversation with her while she was in the hospital. And she said to me, "The end is near." And I had the chance to say to her that I was sorry for the times that I had disappointed her. And her response will never leave me. She said, "I don't remember a bit. You have always been a good son." All of the times that I had disappointed her. And she said, "I don't remember a bit." Yes, indeed, that is unconditional love. Over the past weeks of Lent, we have emphasized the need for personal reflection. And in fact, we've talked about determining those areas where we need to repent. I know that I have mentioned in the past that the Greek word that we translate as repentance is the word metanoia, which literally means to turn around or turn away. We liken it to turning our lives around and turning away from sin. The story of the prodigal son is now looking at how our metanoia, our repentance, or our turning around is received by God. The context in which this parable was told cannot be overlooked. In the parable, the Pharisees and scribes persist in their grumbling as sinners and tax collectors continue to respond positively to the teachings of Jesus. Jesus is preaching a message of hope and salvation, and it's catching the attention of those who so desperately need to turn their lives around. Many were seeing their own stories played out in the life of the prodigal son. The younger son personifies what appears to be a universal human perception that worse than death is the feeling of being lost, especially when this sense of being lost has been brought on by one's own lust or greed or arrogance. In a short time, the prodigal son manages to turn his back on his family, forsake the familiarity of his homeland, and lose sight of his religious upbringing. Being completely without these most basic relationships, he becomes despondent and desperate. He's hungry, and even the pigs are eating better than he is. However, the prodigal son was not without hope, even though he felt so at that time. He was not without hope because he had someone waiting for him, someone who continued to watch the horizon with loving hope and forgiveness. Grace lies at the heart of this parable. Scandalous grace. Grace that defies all earthly rules and exceptions. It was the Father's grace that was waiting for him. Now, while we may be reflecting on how much we can identify with the Son, we should never overlook the central point of the story. the extraordinary love of the father who runs to greet his child while he was still far off. We get the sense here that the father was in fact keeping vigil, looking longingly into the distance, hoping and praying for the day that his boy would return. Like a shepherd searching for a lost sheep, the father remained hopeful that the seeds of love that he had sown would one day bring the boy home again. Now the boy has had time to think about his life. He has even become envious of the pigs. And so he decides that he must return home to see if his father will let him work as a hired hand, because he cannot imagine that his father would welcome him as a son after what he's done. So he goes. He goes home. He is braced for humiliation. But as he comes over the hill in sight of his hometown, his father runs to greet him with open arms. The prodigal son can barely utter his remorse and unworthiness before his father is wrapping him in the finest robe and putting a ring on his finger. Before he can blink the tears out of his eyes, a feast has been planned, and the town has been invited to a spectacular celebration. It's what I call a shindig of biblical proportions. For most of us, we would be satisfied if the story ended right here. We get it. Jesus has made his point that God welcomes any one of us when we return. But Jesus doesn't stop the story here. Now he brings the oldest son back into the picture. And the big brother is miffed. He's unhappy. He's angry. He has not insulted his father. He has not squandered his inheritance. He has just worked for his father day after day, year after year, and his father has never given him a party. He's mad, and he will not set foot into his brother's celebration. So we can relate to the elder brother also. He has been responsible. He has behaved well, even while his little brother is throwing his inheritance away. Doesn't he deserve to feel a little used? Well, in the story, as Jesus tells it, the father doesn't scold the older brother for being resentful, nor does he defend the younger brother. Instead, he shifts the attention away from both of the brothers, and the father turns the attention to his own love and bounty. "There is plenty to go around," he says. "No one will run short. All that is mine is yours." In a way, the father is saying, "This is not your brother's party. This is my celebration. I am so joyful that your brother has come home that I want to celebrate." Behind Jesus' parable of the prodigal son lies profound and overwhelming truth about God and God's love for us. We humans, we all have been lost, mired in the desires of the world, and envious of those who we thought were getting better treatment than we were. But God has reached out through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. God has raised us up and called us home to live in a kingdom of joy and hope. It is not about you or me, or your sin or my sin. It is about God and God's life-giving love and mercy. Every time God's active, searching, healing love finds someone and causes that person to come home, it does not mean there is less of God's grace for the rest of us. Not at all. No, it means we celebrate that God's grace knows no limits. In the parable that Jesus told, the father says to the oldest boy, "My son, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." What an incredible story. Jesus taught by parables because he would cause us to see ourselves in the story. In this Lenten season, we are reminded yet again of God's grace, his incredible love for each of us. When there was no other way for us to be redeemed, God sent his Son to bear our sins on the cross. Now, friends, this happens to be Communion Sunday, when we will be celebrating the Lord's Supper in our sanctuary. So those of you listening at home, I hope that you will also take a moment to reenact the Lord's Supper, to think about what the supper means. But you see, this morning we have a feast prepared for us. It is a celebration. As we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we are acknowledging that God's grace abounds in our lives, and by the death and resurrection of God's Son, we all have the loving invitation to come home. Come home to a God who loves us so unconditionally that he overlooks the ways we have strayed and blots out the times we are unfaithful. With open arms, he welcomes us home. There is no place more joyful or more filled with hope and comfort than the open arms of God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. By the presence of the Spirit of Christ today, we can partake of this feast before us and declare we are home. To the glory of God the Father. Amen. This morning, Alan Vest has prepared for us a song he's entitled, "The Solid Rock I Stand." It takes that familiar hymn that you've all heard before, I'm sure, and he adds some of his own talent to it. So this is "The Solid Rock I Stand," arranged and performed by Alan Vest.
Built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Fails his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. His covenant, his blood, support me in the swimming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Shall come with trumpet sound. Oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in the righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Solid rock, I stand. The solid rock.
Friends, as we go into this next week, let us take a moment to reflect on what this season means and take a moment, enough time to be able to say thank you to God Thank you to God the Father for the incredible grace that was poured out for us through the life, death, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Have a wonderful week, and thanks for listening.